This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the light you have given me. May I use it as you would have me do. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Thank you, God, for the light you have given me. May I use it as you would have me do. In this season of Epiphany, as we celebrate God being revealed to us in Jesus as our light, a very appropriate prayer. And it happens to be a prayer that was written for the last Lenten devotional that she wrote while she was at St. Joseph's, by Vera Ryan. Vera certainly let her light shine in her time here with us. Over the years, Vera shared a lot of wisdom with us in the way that she lived, and it was more preaching the gospel by living as opposed to by words, but the words that she chose to share with us in the DOK Lenten journals were certainly impactful. She wrote in the first ever Lenten journal, "Thank you, Lord, for the special gifts you have given me. Teach me to use them so that I may help spread your words." As a member of our Daughters of the King, as a leader in our ECW organization, as a participant in our Ministry of Mothers Sharing, as an office volunteer, in so many ways, Vera, as did her husband Chuck, who predeceased her, they used the special gifts that they were given. I was talking to Chris a couple weeks ago when we were planning to do this committal at the end of our service today, and I mentioned to him about the fact that one of Chuck's gifts back in the day was to do these cutout little nativities, like the one you see displayed in the center aisle here today of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And he gave me one back my first year here before he died, and somehow it is missing in action right now. So, God love Chris. He took on that particular talent from Chuck, and he made that little cutout that is before us and has given it to St. Joseph's as a gift, to use the gifts that we are given. Chris gave me permission to share this little anecdotal story with you all today that talks about some of the gifts that Vera had. And as we come out of COVID, I'm sure our ECW will go back to our bazaars and sales and craft fairs and all of that. But back in the day, Vera used to always make her jars of marmalades and jelly that would be sold. And one particular year when that was happening, Chris happened to be here. And he saw one of those marmalade jellies that he really liked that Vera had made for the ECW fair. And so he asked if he could take it with him when he went home. And Vera, his mom's response was, "Sure, it's $4. And Chris said there were other jellies that he found that he grew up with that she had made for the fair that he really wanted to take. And she reminded him, they're $4 a piece. Vera was one who had an incredible dedication to her family, but an incredible dedication to the mission of this church. When I came here, I know Vera was right there in the middle of the strategic planning that was going on, even before I was here, and continued to exercise her gifts. That classic reading about love is perhaps where we need to start about using our gifts. If we ever want to have a little litmus test of the way in which we are living out our lives, just start with those classic lines that say, love is patient and love is kind. But pray it on your own, substituting for love your own name. And it can be quite humbling at times. Marty is patient. Marty is kind. Marty is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Whenever we go into something like that reflection, it can be a bit of a wake-up call for us, but not only to make us feel bad about ourselves, that's not the idea, but to encourage us to try even harder, to train more with our rabbi, that we might continue to follow in the best way possible. We have in this particular gospel today, if you were here last week or somewhere else last week, you remember that this is a continuation of the story we had last week. Jesus is in the synagogue. He picks up the scroll. He reads from Isaiah 61. And it's that classic passage about the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to comfort to those who mourn, all of that thing. And then he closes the scroll, says, today the scripture's fulfilled in your hearing, and sits down. Wow. It's his first public sermon. Everybody seems to be all in accord with it. And yet this week, my, how the worm has turned. Because suddenly there's a realization that they have. Wait a minute, Jesus. We know you. You're Mary's son. You were her illegitimate child. Your dad was nothing but a carpenter. Who do you think you are? And so often, for us as it is for them, it becomes a reflection of their own bad self-image that reflects on the way they project it to Jesus as we can to each other. I know who you are. You can't tell me anything. And we end up putting each other in these boxes, including ourselves, that we can't become something other, something more, to which God calls us and enables us to be. Remember, Jesus had just gone through that whole temptations in the desert. And remember, the devil wanted him to use the powers that he had for the wrong reason, for fame and acclaim and fortune, and Jesus refuses. What happens today? The same thing. He's back in his hometown. Jesus, do the magic for us. I mean, this is where you're from. We want to see this stuff too. And yet there was little faith. And Jesus knows it's all for the wrong reasons. And so he won't. He can't. To be rejected for who he is called to be is better than to be accepted for who he is not. There's a lesson for us. We can plug in our own names there too. For me to be rejected for who I am not called to be is better than to be accepted for who I am not. It's hard. But it goes back to that self-image stuff. And let's go back to the love thing for a minute. You've all heard the story of love, love, love. The LLL that I sign many of my communications to you all. Going back to my mother-in-law, love, love, love everybody. But the symbolism in that is in that great commandment that Jesus gives us. Love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. and this lack of loving themselves, I am sure, is what made it that they could not accept Jesus. Because if Jesus could be more, then there would have to be this admission that I too could be more. And that is the call to which Jesus wants them to go towards, and they just can't. Now, I know as many of you got up or last night or in the last cold spell, you had to turn on that heat on your Florida thermostat that you didn't even know if it still worked. And what happens when you do that? It smells. The dust has to burn off of the coils, doesn't it? I think that is a good symbol for us today. Jesus wants to turn the heat on, and there's some dust that's going to have to burn off. And it starts with a realization and an acceptance of all that God calls us and enables us to be, to use the gifts that God has given us, starting with love, but continuing in the unique ways, whether it is with cutouts of the nativity, whether it is with making marmalades and jams, whether it is just picking up the phone and being that friendly voice for each other. That is the call that we're given. Bishop Leo Friday was with us, it was probably 12 years ago, and he talked about the fact that a lot of us would like to put God in a box. Because if we put God in a box, we can keep God contained. We can have that particular view and notion of the areas of our lives where we want God to be and where we don't want God to be. And yet, God is not in a box. And we too are not called to be ourselves in a box or keep each other that way. To open up to allowing us to become that which we are enabled and called to be. If you studied philosophy, you probably know the name of Martin Buber. And he wrote a lot about the fact that we are meant one to another to have I-thou relationships. That with each person, there is not an it that we're looking at. We're not saying, this is who you are for me, and that's it, and nothing else. But that we are enabling each other, person to person, an I-thou that will enable us in love for us to become all that we are called to be. Jeremiah today. What a great reading. God saying to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. You want an upper to begin your day? Plug in your own name to that reading. Because this God, who wants that kind of relationship with us, says that to every one of us. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. There is no greater motivation than having that love of ourselves, than knowing that in the depths of our heart. I'm not a big football fan, but you couldn't help, because it was on all of the news this past week, about that incredible weekend that took place last week. And in light of all that, a friend of mine who's a priest in St. Louis put up on his website this particular caption. If you made some special prayers to God during the last 13 seconds of any of the games last week, Please remember our mass schedule for the weekend is 9:30 and 11:45. We can make all sorts of crazy expectations of God. But we don't need to. Because in the depths of our being, He who formed us in the womb is already there. One final little illustration. You know, those who play football, you have to have an incredible quarterback. And they throw what are called lead passes. Because the receiver, they've practiced this, and the receiver is just going to run to a particular spot because he expects that that's where the ball's going to be. The quarterback does not throw the ball to where the receiver is. The quarterback throws to where the receiver is going to be. And we have a God who throws lead passes. He who formed us in the womb, He who continues to be with us, He who has consecrated us, the ball's going to be there. So let's just keep running. We give thanks for the example of Chuck, of Vera. We give thanks for the example of so many in our lives who show us the way. Amen.